Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's alive. He's not dead. Yeah. He lives. He's our everlasting Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, don't you leave this service. Don't you leave this service today. I don't care how long it takes. You stay here because you might get a word from God. And if you left to McDonald's early, all you're going to get from McDonald's is a bill. When God could have given you a word, amen? Hallelujah. Well, it's a pleasure to be here in this house. Pastor Marty, Inez, Alan, Lou, Marcy, Inez, there's other folks we know in here, Joy visited. We're the body of Christ. Amen. You're not on your own. You're not by yourself. We're together. We are the body of Christ. Somebody's a thumb. Somebody's a toe. Somebody's the arm. Somebody's the ear. But we're all part of the body of Christ. Amen. And that's what we're doing here today is bringing the body of Christ together to hear what God is saying in the world today. So I want to thank Pastor Marty for the invitation, Sister Inez, Alan and Lou. It's just so good to see you. I think I've known Alan probably about 31, 32 years. And a long time. Alan is old. Yeah, actually, I think his nickname is Moses. Moses. That's a good nickname, brother. It's a good nickname, man. That's a good nickname. Hallelujah. See, because he never died. See, the Bible says he never died. He did die. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Are you all ready for the word of God this morning? Amen. All right. First of all, I want you to go to Genesis 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26, and we're going to go through verse 28. And then after that, we're going to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 11, and verse 15. So we're going to go from Genesis and then to Revelation. We're going to go from the beginning to the end. All right? There's a law where you go to Bible school, which I never did. I learned this after I started ministering. But there's a law called the law of first mention. And so God mentioned this at the beginning, and then he says it again in the end. And that's why the Bible says that God knows the end from what? The beginning. And so you need to recognize that your life has already been preordained. You're supposed to be here today. Amen. And whatever was trying to keep you from here today ended up losing the battle. Ah, you better stay with me this morning. Amen. Because every Wednesday night or Thursday night, whenever you have Bible study, you know, the devil tries to keep you away from Bible study on Wednesday night because, well, you know, the kids. Oh, I can preach on the kids. All by myself on the kids. They got to get ready for school. The school will still be there. It's not going anywhere. They can still get there the next day. You know, amen, amen. See, you know I'm already preaching, right? Yeah. You know, but we're not going to go there today. I'm just trying to get you going, man. Just get you going. I want you to say the word, and Pastor Marty mentioned it. See, you know, you don't realize it how the Spirit of God moves upon the earth, because if you're listening to the voice of God and hearing what he's saying, you'll find that he's saying the same thing to other ministers, other prophetic voices at the same time. And it'll even happen through music, where I don't know what music our sound team's going to play on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, but the moment that first song hits, it has to do with the message I'm going to preach. And so if you're moving with God, and if you're in God, if you're in God, in him I live and move and have my being. See, if you're living in God, then you're walking with God, because the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. See, so every step you're taking, everywhere you're going, has been ordained by God, unless you're not living in God. See, and today we're going to find out who's living in God and who's not living in God. Amen. You may be going to church, but church ain't God. It's just a building. It's a structure. See, you're the church. Come on, somebody. Come on. You are the church. See, this is just a body. It's a structure. We can go have church outside. And I would just tell you, just bring your little fan. No más like this fan. You know, we're all menopausal. I don't care who you are. All right. I better stop there. But since Pastor Marty said I had all the time I want, well, then I'm going to take all the time I want. Because at our church, we tell everyone there is a starting time, but there is no ending time. See, and if you will read your scripture, you will find out that it was the same way in the scripture. The Bible says they went from house to house and broke bread and had fellowship and preached the gospel. As a matter of fact, Paul, the great apostle, preached so long that there was a young man sitting up on a rafter somewhere, fell down and died because he fell asleep in church. But God says, even if you fall asleep in church, I'll go ahead and raise you back up. I won't let you miss out on what I got for you. Amen. And so church should. Sunday is God's day, folks. You'll work 6 days a week on the seventh day. He said, forget not the Sabbath, which is actually Saturday. But for us conventional contemporary Americans, it's Sunday. Amen. And so today is God's day. I'm glad you're here. We basically got a full house. We only got about 6 seats empty. Praise God. That's great. And so I'm so glad you're here. Let me go back now. Genesis 1, verse 26 through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over all the cattle, and over all the earth also, and over every creeping thing that creep upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. And God did what? Blessed them. God is not a God of cursing. God is a God of blessing. He just said he would curse the ones that would curse you. The Bible says, touch mine, not mine anointed. And do them no harm. Amen. So when you become God's kid, people better watch out. Amen. So watch this now. So God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So from the very beginning, the mandate for man was that we would have dominion over everything. Everything. We were supposed to have dominion. All right? Are you with me now?
Yes.
Now say the word shift.
Shift.
Marty said it earlier. There was a shift in the spirit. He saw raindrops. So guess what? There's a shift today. There's a shift today occurring, and it's going to happen in your spirit, man, on the inside of you. That's where the shift is, because that's the real you. Your spirit is the real you. The outer part of you is just your shell. That's just how God said, I like the way she looks, so I'm going to make her like that. See, but your spirit, man, is you. That's where your dominion is. The dominion is in your spirit, in your heart, in your soul, in the spirit that God. The Bible says that God breathed into Adam. Now stay with me this morning, or it will make no sense to you at all. You need to know some Bible. The Bible says that God did what? He breathed into Adam, and he became what? A living soul. Okay, stay with me. Adam is laying down, right? Because the Bible says that God put him to sleep. So he wouldn't interfere. See, so he wouldn't interfere with what God wanted to do in his life. See, so he put him to sleep purposely so he could remove the perfect part. See, your wife is perfect. I don't care what you think. Your husband is perfect. I don't care what she's done. I don't care what she said. I don't care what she did in the past. Your wife is perfect because God gave you your wife. God gave you your husband. And he took your wife out of your side, out of your rib, and you became one, the Bible says. All right. Now, I will go down some rabbit trails, so just stay with me. So the Bible says that God breathed into Adam. All right, stay with me. So what was God actually doing when he breathed into Adam? Because Adam was laying down, right? So what did God do? God was actually doing this. He was stepping into Adam. Wow. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Yeah. He stepped into, when he blew, that was his being. So he stepped into Adam. God literally, God is a spirit, and no man can see God because he's a spirit, and you will die. So that means God's whole being stepped into Adam. When you became born again, guess what? The Holy Spirit, who represents God in the earth, what? Stepped into you.
Hallelujah.
See, y'all better stay with me this morning. See, because the devil deceived Eve, right? So what happened? Think for a moment. He stepped in and he stepped out. Because of Adam and Eve's rebellion and sin. So if you read the Old Testament, you'll find out that God moved upon men as he willed it. Upon the prophets. God was not in everyone anymore. Are you with me? Yes. But there comes somebody named Jesus.
Yes.
And on the day of Pentecost, he says, you wait in the upper room. I've got to go back to my Father. But I'm going to send you one. Are you with me? And he shall be your guide, your counselor, your comforter. He will be everything to you. I have to go back so that God can step back into you. They didn't want him to leave, but he said, if I don't leave, God cannot step back into you. And God wants to step back into humanity the way it was at first in the beginning. See, so get this morning. That's why I'm saying there's a shift. And God spoke to me at the end of November of 2011. He said, I'm going to give you a word, a prophetic word for the nations, for the body of Christ. And everywhere you're invited, and you're not going to call anybody and say you got a word that you're supposed to come preach at their church. Because we don't do that. See? So he says, I'm going to make sure people call you that are supposed to call you because they will be ready for this word. That's where you'll go. You're not going to go where I don't send you. See, because a lot of people go that haven't been sent. And when you're not sent, nothing happens. See? Oh, y'all better stay with me this morning. So he sent him. So he says, I want you to share this scripture. Shift, he said, because 2012, so really this was the prophetic word for 2012 that was going to propel us from here on till the time of Christ, until the time of the second coming. Are you with me? So this is a now word. Then this word is not just a sermon. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you get sermons, you get teachings, you get sermons on how to grow and how to mature and how to develop this and how to develop this gift and develop your gift. You know, those are teachings and sermons. This is not a sermon. This is not a teaching. This is a rhema word from God of what he is doing upon the earth right now. He's doing it. This is what he's doing. You hear what I'm saying? And he's going to continue to do this until he comes back. All right? So what he began to tell me is that there's a shift occurring. And in 2012, I am going to begin to escalate things at a very fast pace. Things are going to begin to happen around the world. I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken, and I'm going to quake everything that can be quaked. So this is a word for the body of Christ. It's a word for the world that needs to be shared. Okay, so stay with me. Shift. You know what an acronym for the word shift is? Searching heavenly insights for truth. Searching heavenly insights for truth. And the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So there's something that comes with preaching the truth that will make you free. Are you with me? And some of you are going to get freed up today. You're going to get free. You're going to get set free. Amen. You're going to be delivered from mindsets. You're going to be delivered from religious mindsets. He used the word religiosity. God is not a religion. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, see? And so we've got to get this right, okay, now. So he says, and God blessed them, and he said, and have dominion over the fish and everything in the earth, right? So what, from the beginning, we were supposed to do what? Have dominion over everything, right? Yeah. Adam and Eve lost it. Jesus, what? Regains it, gives it back to us. Unless you were a prophetic voice and God anointed you like Elijah and the prophets of the old and certain men and certain women, okay? But now we all have Christ in us, right? The hope of glory. Now we all have the person of the Holy Spirit. So now the Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. How many believers do we have in the house? Are signs following you? Come on, are you with me? So all of you in here should be able to heal the sick, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, right? Raise the dead. Everybody in here, even little kids, I don't care who you are. If Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you should be walking in the anointing of God, okay? So I want to title this message, Stepping into Your 12. Stepping into your 12, because God literally stepped into Adam, all right? And so, see, the number 12 is God's divine government upon the earth. That's you and I, see, all right? So listen to me loud and clear. Born again believers, the Bible says that when you're born again, behold, all things have passed away, and all things, what? Become new. So don't look back. Look forward into your prophetic future. Watch this. Wife's Lot looked back, and she froze and stayed at the same place. Tell your neighbor, don't stay back there. Yeah. Don't stay back there. You got to keep moving with God. You got to be moving with God. The Bible says that God moved by a fire by day, a fire by night, and a cloud by day. And they didn't move unless God moved. Right. See? So when it was said, take up the tent, they take up the tent, and then they would move, and they would move together. So that means the body of Christ should be moving together. Right. You should be moving with God. You should be those that are led of the Spirit. They are what? The sons of God. So we're talking about sonship. We're not talking about just members. We're talking about sonship, not members of a church. Because those that are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. We're talking about sonship. See, anybody can be a member of a church, but not anybody can be a son in the church. See? Or a daughter in the church. Huh? Amen? Because sons are obedient. See? Daughters are obedient. And if they're not, daddy God gets out the belt. Isn't that what he said? That God chastises those that he what? That he loves, just like a good daddy would. Just like a good mama would, see? So daddy loves you so much that he's willing to get the belt out and give you a good spanking every once in a while. Hallelujah. See? So Lot's wife, you know, she prose and stayed at the same place. Listen, stop holding on to the past. If you're going to step into your 12, which means divine protection, you're going to have to release the past, release your regrets about whatever you may have done or failed to do that turned out poorly. And most of all, you got to forgive others for whatever they may have done to you or failed to do, what they may have caused you harm, saints. All of us must declare and decree that this morning to move into the next dimension, to move into your 12, because it's a new beginning with a new attitude. See, you got to move into your 12 divineness. God is divine. See, and the number 12 means divine perfection. So let go of the past and move on with creating a joyful and new future for yourself. Why stay in the past? There was a song, I listen to songs, I love music. When y'all worship, we'll go hours worshiping. There's moments I just don't preach. We just worship. And 2 hours and 3 hours have gone by and nobody cared if I preached or not. Why? Because God was there. Oh, see. So we should come to church for God, not just to be cheerleaders for a man. And if God starts to touch you and he starts touching the body of Christ, who cares who preaches or doesn't preach? I just got delivered laying on the floor on the carpet. I just know God's filling my bank account because I heard him speaking to my ear while I was worshiping. He said, don't worry about the finances. I'm taking care of that. Why? Because I was worshiping him. I didn't have to hear it from him. I didn't have to hear it from her. I got a direct hotline to God. Why? Because I'm in my 12. I'm stepped into my 12, see? And if I've stepped into my 12, I'm walking in divinity with divinity. See, Jesus didn't do anything outside of God's ordained order. Right. See, he said he was, you know, when they were going to Pentecost, and mom and dad were taking them to Pentecost, and all the people were going and celebrate Pentecost, Jesus took off. He went and got lost. And mom and dad are walking and say, where's Jesus, man? Joe's here, and Eddie's here, and Mary's here, Cholo's here. Everybody's here. Where's Jesus? ¿Onta? Lo estoy buscando, Jesús. Nada. Oh, Jesús. They can't find Jesus. And then they finally find him where? In the temple. And they say, what you doing here? He said, I'm about what? My Father's business. See, so when you step in your 12, you should be walking and only doing the Father's business. And what are you saying, Pastor Pete? You shouldn't have your own agenda. You should not be thinking of ways of how you're going to manipulate this and manipulate that and do this and do that. Because if you're walking in your 12 and God is in you, then God is ordering your steps and you don't have to walk in confusion. You don't have to walk in anxiety. You don't have to be depressed, compressed, oppressed. Because why? I'm walking in my 12. See, I'm walking in divinity. See? That's what God meant. So 12 is very important. See, question, why is it so important, Pastor Pete? It's important because God himself is in the process of setting up his divine government on the earth. And 12 is the number of divine government, see. And that's you and I, the church, with Jesus at the head. Right? Listen, we, the body of Christ, are supposed to be and are the spiritual government authority waiting and watching for his return to this earth. Now watch, let's read now Revelation 11 and verse 15. See, because he told us in Genesis what? That we were to have what? Dominion upon the earth, right? I proved to you by the scripture that God stepped into Adam. He didn't just blow into Adam. He stepped into Adam. And then Adam became what? A living soul, right? And doesn't the Bible say that Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden in the cool of the night, in the cool of the morning? Huh? Remember the Bible said they were naked, but they didn't know it? Why? Because they were walking in their 12. They were walking in pure divinity. And so they didn't know they were naked until they ate of the apple. See? And so what you got to recognize now that Jesus has reconciled us to the Father, then he stepped back into us, his 12 stepped back into us in the day of Pentecost, right? Isn't that what happened? The Holy Spirit came as a mighty rushing wind, and he stepped, and they all began to speak what? In another language and new tongues. And they thought they were drunk and they were crazy, but what they didn't realize is that God had stepped back into man on that day. And the one that was speaking was not man, but it was God speaking in the earth again, saying, I'm back, and this time I'm not leaving. Oh, yeah, yeah. Satan caught him to leave man then, but this time he was stepping back into him, and now he was here to stay. See, so you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, so you have perfection dwelling on the inside of you. Watch this now. Revelation 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. The kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of God, right? Aren't we the ones that are supposed to have dominion? Okay, stay with me. So we'll begin. This scripture is going to begin to make a lot of sense. It'll manifest in a major way in a moment. It is going to speed up. See, time is speeding up. Everything is speeding up. Just turn on your television. How many floods are going up, happening right now up north? All the fires, all the tornadoes, Oklahoma, they destroyed so many homes. Little babies, 24 little kids were killed. Everything is speeding up, and it's not happening in small things. It's happening big, massive. Massive earthquakes are happening, and massive snowstorms and massive floods and these massive tornadoes that are wiping out literal cities and blocks, and it's happening. It's crazy. The fires, there's fires now also in Southern California happening, and you see what is happening. God is escalating. God is moving. He is removing time. See, remember, God created time for us because God does not operate in time. He operates outside of time. So he had to create time for us to live in. See, so for us, things may be happening in a certain way, but for God, things are going to start moving quickly, see, very quickly. So God is preparing the earth for the harvest. Are you with me? And so who's he going to use for the harvest? You said a very important word, the remnant. See, you are the vessels that are to be used for the great harvest in these last days. The first thing in your mind, in your divine nature, because why? If God is your 12, if your 12 stepped into you, God deals in souls. See, God only cares about souls. He don't care about money. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. His streets are paved in gold. So if you need something from God, if you need money from God, all you got to be doing is stepping into your 12. If you're walking in your 12, if you're walking in God, if I'm in God, I don't have to pray for money. Money will just show up Because I'm walking in God. In him I live and move and have my very being. So every day I get up, I say, okay, God, what are we doing today? Where are we going today? Who am I going to witness to at work today? Give me that prompting of your spirit. Stir me up. I don't care if it's my boss. I don't care who it is. You tell me who you're going to talk to about Jesus, and I'll talk to them about Jesus, and then a check shows up in the mail. Huh? Isn't that what he said? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. And then. And we forget the word then. Then all these things shall be what? Added to you. See, we get things in reverse. We do things backwards because this world system has designed this world to think backwards instead of thinking the way God thinks. Because the Bible says that my ways are not your ways, and your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So you got to line yourself up with the Word of God and start thinking the way He thinks. That's why they said, let the Word of God be renewed in you. Let your mind be renewed by the washing of the Word of God. So sometimes you got to take a bath in the Word. See, you got to stop watching the housewives from New Jersey. I'm stepping into my 12 housewives. No. Don't expect anything from God if you're going to be watching garbage like that. Garbage in, garbage out. It's not what so enters into the man, but what comes out of the man. See, so you got to line yourself up with the Word of God, or the number 12, which is divinity, divine government, divine authority, divine sovereignty. 12 also means sovereignty. God is sovereign. He knows it. There's no way you can fool God. Believe me, I've tried it. I have tried it. It didn't work. I just heard his voice say, what are you doing? Right? Isn't that just like your kids? You watch them over there. What are you doing? Did I tell you to do that? No, but I thought nothing. Get your rear end over here. And see, God will try to get our attention and say, what are you doing? And then we don't listen to God because we think we know more than God. And then we get in trouble. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, ayúdame, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. And just like Peter, he pulls you out of the water. Because he's a faithful God. And even when you blow it and mess up and you're just a plain old stupid knucklehead and you get the spirit of stupid on you, even when you get the spirit of stupid on you, Jesus will come to the rescue and save you. I'm telling you. Listen. God will help you. Huh? Didn't he help the man that the disciples were trying to cast the devil out of his son, and they couldn't do it, and then he goes to Jesus, mira. Chuy, your disciples came and they cast out they did this and they healed, but my son, he's still possessed of the devil. And what did Jesus say? Huh? No, what did he say first? He said, you had doubt and unbelief. See? And so sometimes we have to deal with our own doubts and with our own unbelief. Because we can read the Word and his promises, and it's in your face. And you can read it and still have doubt and have unbelief and say, well, God would do it for Pastor Marty because he's a pastor. He's been called, But he won't do it for me. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The Bible says that God is no respecter of person. He'll do it for your pastors. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for your mama. He'll do it for your sons. He'll do it for your daughters. He'll do it for anyone that align themselves up with him. Amen? So I'm talking about divine protection. If you want divine protection, you got to step into your 12. See, you got to step into sovereignty. Watch this. Listen, if you see, pay attention. Because we can see in the natural that just by watching the news how kingdoms, remember we're talking about dominion in the beginning, and we're still talking about dominion in the end. And in the beginning and the end, God is still in dominion. Mr. Obama is not in dominion. Mr. Putin is not in dominion. Nobody is running nation. They ain't nobody. They're nothing but pawns in the hands of God. Even the devil ain't in charge. He just tries to get you to believe he's in charge. And if you believe him, then he's in charge of your life. But if you don't believe him, he said, where's the devil? The place he should be, under my feet. Yes. That's what God said, right? And so that's where the devil should be every day of your life, is under your feet. And when you hear that voice, you say, get back under there, man. Just get back. See, because the devil speaks to your mind on a daily basis. Who do you talk to the most all day? Yourself. Right? Don't you talk to yourself the most all day long? And so you're hearing your voice and then two other voices with that. And so your voice has to discern which voice to listen to. Okay? And based on that, your steps will be ordered. Okay? And so you got to remember that God is still in charge of this whole world. Nothing happens in this earth without God's knowledge. The Bible says not even a sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing it. See, I'm talking about stepping into your 12. And leaving here today with a changed attitude of saying, I'm not going to step into a 10 or an 11 or an 8 or a 5. I'm going to step into my 12. I'm going to start walking in divine divinity with God. I'm going to start doing the word of God instead of just hearing the word of God. I'm going to be a doer of the word of God. I'm going to do what it says, even if it hurts. Because the real character is when nobody is watching. And you have to make a decision, do I do this or do I do what the devil told me to do? Come on, I've known too many businessmen in my life that have done things to make money. And they compromised the word of God. And they were Christians. And then they come out in this big old mess. And I'm thinking, well, you did it your way and the devil's way. God comes to the rescue, but not before he lets you stay in the fire for a while. Because that's the only way you're going to learn your lesson. Amen. When you disobey God, okay, you're on timeout. And then you go through some stuff so you won't forget, man, I ain't doing that again. Because Daddy God really got me last time. Watch this. So you got to remember that the earth is the Lord's and what? The fullness thereof. And so right now in the natural, just by watching the news, you'll see kingdoms that are coming down. We just read it. That the kingdoms of this earth are coming down and they belong to God. God's taking over. Nobody's going to take over. God's going to take over. There's going to be a short season with the Antichrist and the devil ruling this place. But I read the end of the book. And the Bible tells me that there's going to be a great city called Jerusalem descending from the heavens, coming down to earth. So don't think for a moment that the Satan rules. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything God won't let him do either. Because the Bible says that he is before God's throne on a daily basis, accusing the brethren, asking if he can attack you. But you have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus, who shows up in court for you. Oh, see, y'all didn't know there's a heavenly court in heaven. I can prove it to you in the scripture. There's a court in heaven, and God holds court every day. See, how do you think Satan got to tempt Job? He went before God's throne, and Satan said, what did he say? I can't get to Job. You got a hedge around him. And so God says, all right, I'm going to make you a deal. Go ahead. I'm going to remove the hedge and do whatever you want to Job. Anything you want to do, except you can't kill him. And what happened to Job? Huh? Far worse than has happened to any of us. Think about it. We've all gone through stuff. But when we read that Bible sometimes, and we read those stories, we go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my name ain't Job. Híjole, man. Qué bárbaro. What? And you start repenting all over again. Thank you for my salvation. While you're ordering a number one Mexican plate. See, I'm talking about order in your life. See, watch this now. Kingdoms are coming down right now as we speak. Just watch it. Iran came down. Iraq came down. Egypt is coming down. Libya is coming down. It started to unseem. Greece is now starting to come unhinged. Greece is no longer, folks. The governments are collapsing. Spain will follow. Then Italy's going to follow. Then France will follow. Make no mistake about it. Kingdoms rise and fall based on economy. Based on economy. So, Pastor Pete, what does this have to do with us? It reminds us of God's word and his promise. You see, in Isaiah 9 and 7, it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Come on, somebody. Say, no end.
No end.
See, you see, God's government is a government of peace. And man's government is a government of fear. And God has not given his children a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, you will have peace in the coming storm. There is a storm coming to this earth like never, ever, ever before. And you will be here to experience it, and at least a good 3.5 years of it. Now, let me set you free theologically. Because we have been taught by fathers of the faith that there is a pre-tribulation rapture. And I can teach you in 10 minutes that there is no such thing as a pre-tribulation rapture. We are not going to be raptured before the tribulation starts. You're going to be here at least halfway through. You have to be to reach souls. See, and God's going to shake this world like nobody's business, and he's already doing it. They're up there in the Middle East, and they're fighting with rocks. Why are the people, the citizens of those nations, throwing rocks at the police? Why? Answer, it's an easy question. Because they don't have no guns. They can't defend themselves. Right? Because the government's made laws to disarm its citizens in the past. So the citizens have disarmed. They don't have no guns. They cannot defend themselves. So when the governments take over, they can just kill everybody. What is our government trying to do right now? Disarm us. Why? It's coming here. I'm trying to educate you this morning because this is a word for the body of Christ. I told you it was in a sermon. See, so you're going to have to change your mindset. You're going to have to change your lifestyle. You're going to have to live by the word, only by the word. You're going to have to prepare for what's coming upon the earth because the earth is already shaking. It's not going to. It's already shaking because these nations are falling. Our Ben Bernanke, the head of the Fed, is printing $85 billion a month to keep our economy afloat. And that money is imaginary. It's digital. It does not exist. But yet, that's what they're doing to prop up our economy. So that's going to end, and it's going to be sooner rather than later. See? But we what? Have dominion. Hear me what I'm saying, because I wanted to establish that stepping in your 12, meaning that no matter what comes to your door, no matter what comes against you, when all this thing begins to break out, just as in the days of Egypt, what did he tell Moses? Tell him to kill a lamb and take the blood and place it on the doorpost of their house. So if you have the blood of Jesus in your house, if you stepped in your 12, no matter what happens to this world, you will have divine protection because you have stepped into your 12. See, God is going to take care of his people. He always has. And he always will. But we have to be here to bring people into the kingdom. We got to reach people. The Bible says, it says in Isaiah that in the last days, God's glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So guess who has to be walking in that glory? Come on, somebody. You are the ones that are going to be walking in that glory. You're getting ready to see miracles, signs, and wonders like you've never seen before in your life. And it's going to come by your hands. It's not just for the preachers. It's not just for Benny Hinn and T.D. Jakes and those big guys. See, it's for everybody. Those that believe, these signs shall follow them. I'm a believer. All I got to do is step into my 12 and start praying for people, start casting out people and see what happens. Just start praying for somebody that feels oppressed and say, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of depression, come out of that woman. And that woman will begin to manifest because you have authority, you have dominion, your sovereign authority that resides on the inside of you. And that demon has to go. That person has to be healed. They have to be delivered, see? Because God said in the last days he would have dominion. Make no mistake about it. Kingdoms fall and rise on the economy. So that's what's going to happen. You see, God's government is a government of peace, and man's government is a government of fear, see? And so you've got to get this, because the number 12 is a numeral of manifest sovereignty. Sovereignty, sovereignty. God is sovereign. Nothing is missing God. And because it is divine government, it is perfect government. 12, therefore, is a symbol of government perfection. Touch somebody and tell them, perfection is going to invade my life. Okay. Watch this. Watch it. Watch this. Now, watch this. Watch, 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 watch. Watch this. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What do you mean by that? What do you mean? What do you mean? Government perfection is getting to what? Invade my life. God is going to visit the home of every person that says they belong to him. Listen to me. Listen to me. And what he's going to do is bring correction of everything that is out of order in your house. Because if he has to have his church ready and waiting and dressed in white without spot or wrinkle, what does he got to do? He's got to go in your house and iron some things out. He's going to fix your son. He's going to fix your daughter. He's going to fix your husband. He's going to fix your wife. They're lost right now. They're getting ready to get saved, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, because mama was praying, daddy was praying, grandma was praying, I was praying. They were doing drugs, sleeping around with two girls and two guys, or a guy with a guy, or a girl with a girl, and all of a sudden, my house is getting in order because my son has come back to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and the Father of Fathers, and I am walking in my 12. I'm telling you, God is going to invade every Christian home. That's what he told me. If they say they're mine, then I'm coming over, because that's my house. I pay their bills. I'm the one that gave them the job to buy the house. It's not their house.
It's my house, and I can walk through that door anytime I want to. I don't need their permission because they belong to me. I reconcile them by the blood of my son, and my blood rests on that home. Woo! Glory! See, we've got to recognize that 12 is divine protection. Divine protection, divine order, divine sovereignty. It's God at his best. It's when he's operating in his 12. See? And we've got to learn that we've got to live in our 12. Remember, from the very beginning, what did I say God did? He stepped into Adam. He stepped into Adam. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, what, stepped back, what, in us. And so now that 12 is back on the inside of you. Nothing missing. Nothing what? Broken. Oh. Do you know the word salvation? The word salvation in the Greek is zozo. It means wholeness. It means to be made whole. Whole. So that means if you're saved and born again and you gave your life to Jesus, you should be whole. And if you're not whole, by the time you leave here today, you're going to be whole. Because salvation has come to the house. And if Jesus is in the house, anything else has to leave the house. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Those that dwell under the wings of the shadow of the Almighty, right? Yes. See, we'll abide there, right? And you read, go read Psalm 91. I don't have it memorized, but read what it says. And nothing will come near you. Nothing will touch you. Nothing will affect you. If it even comes close, I'll raise, if it comes like a flood, I'll raise up a standard. 1,000 will fall at your right and 10,000 will fall at your left, but none will come nigh thee. See, I'm telling you, I've stepped in my 12. I'm walking in my 12, Pastor Marty. I'm stepping in my 12. See, what y'all don't understand, and he might understand, and these people might understand, and now they, but see, the enemy's been trying to take out my ministry since we started. He's been trying to take out our ministry from the very day we started our ministry. Just like, remember when Moses, remember? Pharaoh ordered every child to be killed, and Moses' mama put him in the basket, and he ended up in Pharaoh's house. And then Jesus is born. They're trying to kill Jesus. Huh? And what type of ministry did they have? It was a prophetic ministry. There were prophets. See, the devil always wants to kill prophetic ministry. Because prophetic ministry speaks to the future. It speaks to the now. It speaks to the past. It speaks to every realm of the spirit. It's not locked in just to one thing. Prophetic ministry speaks, and when it speaks, the word will not return void. Because you're speaking words that God said to speak. And if they're God's words that you're speaking, then after that, it's not my issue. Because it's done, and it's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish that which God sent it to do. See, and so God has tried to destroy our ministers from the very, very beginning. And I could write book after book after book after book after book on how God is, the devil has tried to destroy our ministry because of what we do. See, we preach like this, but we cast out devils. We heal the sick. And guess what? You know what's really the bad part? We do it for people that don't even come to our church. Isn't that something? See, you understand what I'm saying? Because when you're called to the ministry, you're called to the whole world. And so people learn about us and they say, hey, over there at that church over there, that pastor, they cast out devils. Go over there. And they'll call, make an appointment. They come. We cast the devil out. And then I say, I want to invite you to come visit and see if you like it. If you like it, great. If you don't, go back to your church. And then most of the time, they don't come back. That's all right. And that's all right. But see, the devil hates it when a person is set free. But him who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. And so when you're walking around free, the devil can throw all the darts he can, but you're discerning those darts, and you know what they are, because why? I'm walking in my 12. I'm walking in divinity. See, I know who I am in Christ. See, watch this. You see, in Exodus 15, 27, the people of Israel, after a trying experience in the desert of Shur, found refreshment and strength at the 12 wells of water at Elim. In Exodus 28, it was 12 precious stones that adorned the breastplate of the high priest, each stone bearing the name of a tribe. Joshua, when he led the people of God across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, commemorated that moment when God held back the waters of judgment and they took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan according to the 12 tribes and carried them over unto the place where they would be lodged and laid them down there in the place where the feet of the priests bear the Ark of the Covenant. In 1 Kings 7:25, again it was 12 oxen who bore up the molten sea of Solomon's temple. In Ezekiel 48, he speaks of the 12 gates of the city, which speaks of Israel's administrative authority among the nations. 12 is relevant. See? And it was in Luke 2:26 that at the age of 12 that Christ was found among the doctors at Jerusalem, what? Doing his Father's business. In Matthew 19:28, Jesus himself prophesies a day when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory and promises that his apostles shall sit upon what? 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He even rebuked Peter in Matthew 26:53 after Peter cut off an ear off one of the Roman soldiers when he said, "Think you not that I can now pray to my Father and he shall not send me more than 12 legions of angels?" In Acts 7:8, Stephen speaks of 12 patriarchs. In Revelation 21, it declares that the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God with 12 gates, 12 angels, 12 names of the tribes, 12 foundations, 12 precious stones, the names of the 12 apostles, and its measurement each way is 12,000 furlongs, which symbolizes the government of a glorified saints over all creation, and that's you and I. So I would say that the number 12 is very important to God, very significant. And you got to make a decision to walk into your 12. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah was plowing with 12 oxen when he was called to the ministry. In 1 Kings 10, Solomon made a great throne of ivory, and he had 6 steps on each side that led up to it with 12 lions, with 6 lions on each side, 12 lions. In 2 Kings 21, it was Manasseh that was 12 years old when he became king. And in Mark 19, there were 12 baskets full of bread after feeding 15,000 folks, which speaks of divine abundance. So when you step in your 12, see, there should be no lack in your home. There should be no lack in your home when you've stepped into your 12. Because he said, what do you have? A couple of fishes? I went to Mission. I'm into Mission. Just I was Mission County. And caught a couple of perches. He said, let me have them perches and those two butter crust pieces of bread you got there. And there was so much left over that they were able to fill how many baskets? 12. Come on, somebody. Is anybody getting the revelation this morning of stepping into your 12? You've got to step into your 12. Listen. And in Mark 8:19, there were 12 baskets of food, full of bread left over. Watch this. Watch. Listen. Look at 12. Or look at the next 12 months. Watch this now. Let me see where I am. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay, I'm not too ahead of myself. All right. So listen, the number 12, we know what? It's important to God, right? I've proved it to you this morning, right? God's divine government is leaving here this morning, and it's walking into your home to establish God's kingdom upon the earth and your home is getting ready to experience perfect order. Perfect order. Perfect order. And you have to make up your mind to invite God into your house. Because even though I said God would invade your house, he's still a gentleman. He knocks. So you got to make up your mind, Lord, I want you to come to my house and have free reign and do whatever it is that you got to do to straighten out our family, our finances, our marriage, our children. Do what you got to do. I don't care how much it hurts. Because it's going to hurt for God to make the adjustments that he needs to make in your life so that divine order can come into your house. I'm ministering right now to pastors right now. Brought us, God has word, gave us a word early in our ministry that our house would be used to help restore pastors that have gone through a hard time. And we're ministering to a pastor right now with a family of four children. And they just stepped down from the ministry. Pastor, we're just beaten down. And he said, God told us to come to the house of living bread and to sit under your ministry and get restored. And we've been meeting with them every Friday night to minister to them first, and then we're going to minister to the kids as we go along. See, what happens? Doing the will of God. When you're called, you're called. But what happens? That enemy can come in and create division and strife and backbiting. And I don't like that sister. I ain't going to sit over there by her. Did you see the way she cut her hair? The one side's like up to the ear and the other one's below the other ear. I don't want to look at that. See, that's that religious spirit, see? And God wants to get rid of that religious spirit, see, in the house. And that's how he's going to do it. He's going to visit your home. And then those people you used to judge when you went to church, you ain't going to judge them no more. You're going to go up to say, hey, sister, I just want to tell you how much I love you. Why? Because God dealt with your heart. And God needs to deal with you first. You're always wanting God to deal with somebody else. God, deal with them. God, deal with them, Lord. You don't know how they are. And God said, you don't know how you are. So because you wanted me to fix them, before I fix them, guess what? You're going to be first in line. Come on, I'm preaching good this morning. Just kidding. So the number 12 is important to God. You see, it's time, listen, it's time for the church to take its place, and that's on top and not at the bottom. It's time to declare who we are in the earth and not be ashamed of the kingdom we represent. Turn on my cell phone, honey. Where's my cell? Turn it on. I'm gonna find something. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of his government shall be no end. Do I have 2 minutes, Marty? We have all day, right? Ain't God Sunday? Sunday, God's day? I better find it. You need to hear this. And the Holy Spirit just prompted me right there, folks. I'm not going to be able to find it because now I have to download more. But I have a brother in Christ. And he's trying to put together 300 pastors here in town. So
so we can create revival. He sent me an email. And in this email,
San Antonio, by way of Mayor Castro and his city council, want to pass laws, ordinances in our city that you cannot work for the city if you don't believe in gay rights and gay marriage and same-sex marriage. This is our mayor, and that spirit, see, that's a spirit. It's spiritual. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of this age, okay? And they're pulling out all kinds of stuff. He's trying to cram so much. He's just like President Obama. He's trying to push so much stuff before they leave office that changes the course of our country, huh, to be like Egypt. Remember, the Bible says, come out from among her. Be ye separate. See, because when President Obama first was running for president, he was pro-life and pro, you know, marriage. And then what? He changed his mind, right? He even got Bishop Jakes to endorse him at his church and got his church voting for him. And what did he do to Bishop? He stabbed Bishop in the back. You see what I'm saying? Because it's spiritual.